We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield, this is Coach Banghart Live, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Also brought to you in part by the Carolina Club, your social and business club in Chapel Hill, and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. Here's your host, Matt Krause.
And we welcome you to this Monday, December 20th, 2021 edition of the Courtney Banghart Show. My name is Matt Krause, radio play-by-play voice of Carolina women's basketball. What a week it's been for the Tar Heels. Carolina has improved to 10-0 on the season, 1-0 in ACC play after a 76-73 come-from-behind road win at Boston College just yesterday. And the Tar Heels will play for 11-0 on the campaign prior to breaking for the holiday break. Let's set the table for what's ahead on this special edition of the Courtney Banghart Show. You actually will not hear from the head coach of the Tar Heels. Instead, we have a special interview for you. Together, it is longtime friends and current Carolina assistant coaches Ettore Coleman and Joanna Luca-White. Coach Coleman and Coach Luca-White will talk about their backgrounds growing up with one another, playing in college, and their journey to becoming coaches, plus some insight on their family life and coaching philosophy. You will hear from both of them in our second and third segments on the show. But before we get to Coach Coleman and Coach Luca-White, let's take a look back at the memorable 76-73 comeback win over Boston College, a game in which Carolina trailed by 15 at 62-47 early in the fourth quarter. From there, the comeback was on. The Tar Heels started forcing Boston College turnovers, seemingly left and right. Some shots started to fall, and what was a 15-point deficit had been trimmed to just one. Score read 73-72. There were less than 15 seconds remaining in the game. Carolina had called a timeout, giving them the ball in the offensive half court. And from there, Deja Kelly took over.
Down one. Tar Heels take the lead with a bucket. Hodgson will put it in play. Eva surveys, gets it to Kelly straight away. Deja drives left post, step back, 13-footer, good! It's good! Deja got it from 13 feet away, and the Tar Heels have ascended the mountain to take the lead by one, 74-73.
Kelly wasn't done making an impact. When Boston College was able to inbound the ball out of timeouts, having to go the length of the floor, the Eagles tried to throw the ball to midcourt. Kelly came up with an intercepted pass, was fouled, sank two free throws to put the Tar Heels up 76-73. BC would still get one last gasp at it, though, to a try and send the game to overtime.
Ivy with five, moving up the far sideline. Handoff for Swartz, right point three for the tie. Missed it long, loose ball squirts out right. Horn will sound, comeback complete! The Tar Heels trailed by 15 early in the fourth quarter, and they win the game! 76-73! And in the ACC opener in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, it is a great day to be a Tar Heel.
A great day to be a Tar Heel indeed. Carolina closes the game on a 10-0 run. They defeat Boston College, a 15-point comeback. The 13-point deficit entering the fourth quarter marked the largest deficit overcome by an ACC team entering the fourth quarter in any game this season. So Carolina did 10-0 for the ninth time in program history. They win their first ACC game when it was a road game. For the first time since 2012, obviously you have to have a road game as your first scheduled conference game in order to do that, but Tar Heels get that done for the first time since 2012, and now they will play for 11-0 in the non-conference finale, dipping back into non-league play Tuesday afternoon. That'll be a 1 o'clock tip against Alabama State. We'll preview that contest in our final segment. But on the flip side of this break, we will be joined by Carolina assistant coach Ettore Coleman and Carolina assistant coach Joanna Luca-White. We promise you, this is an interview you do not want to miss. The presenting sponsor of the Courtney Banghart Show is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, we resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to empower future leaders. Ettore Coleman and Joanna Luca-White after this, when we return to the Courtney Banghart Show from Learfield. The Carolina Club is your social membership club in Chapel Hill, and it's your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. The club offers exceptional dining. It's got an unbeatable location for UNC sporting events, a full calendar of social, business, family, and community affairs, and access to the club network of over 200 private clubs. The best part, you don't even have to be a UNC alum. Everyone is welcome at the Carolina Club. Please visit carolina-club.com to learn more about your club at Carolina. We are back here on the Courtney Banghart Show. We've got a couple of special guests with us here today. It's two of Carolina's three assistant coaches, Joanna Luca-White in her third season and Ettore Coleman in her first season. Joe, Ettore, welcome.
Thanks, Matt. How are you?
Thanks,
doing
Matt.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
Glad you both are here. Now, you two, you go way back. And I don't think the average Carolina fan may know this. Joe, how far back do you go?
Ooh, back to when I was about 15, so 1994, 95?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So a long time.
Yes.
Ettore, what memories do you have of playing together in Hepzibah, Georgia? Did I get that right?
You did. Very good.
My research worked. There you go.
Yes. I remember when Joanne moved to the area and we found out that she was going to be playing basketball. I didn't know much about her, but our high school coach kept talking about she was a really good athlete. And then the first practice we had together, I was like, yeah, she's going to be able to help a lot. I mean, she rebounded the heck out of the ball. She played really, really, really hard, and I am attracted to people that just work hard. That's just their nature, and that's just who she is. But outside of her being a good basketball player, she's a really good person, too.
Well, that was actually nice of you.
Well, I'm on radio, so I figure I can say one or two things nice about you, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Now you got to repay the favor.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I was a late bloomer with basketball, and our high school coach, Coach Wendell Lofton, he's a legend in Hepzibah, Georgia. He came to the middle school and kind of recruited me to come to play at Hepzibah High School. But the biggest thing that stood out about going to Hepzibah High School was because Ettore was there. She's one of the leaders on the team, and she's always been a leader since I've met her. She was our point guard. She was a fierce competitor, and so you had to be on your you had to bring your best every time you were in practice. And so that's kind of where basketball, I kind of fell in love with it from Coach Lofton, and also in working and playing alongside with her. People don't know this, and I'm going to this story really quickly. From my freshman year, I was playing JV and varsity my freshman year. that summer, she picked me up every day and took me to go play pickup ball, either at the Army base, outdoor courts, anywhere we could find a game. And that's how I moved from, you know, being JV / varsity into being a varsity player. And so I owe a lot of my hard work and those work ethics that I have now because I was able to, you know, play with her. Oh, stop it.
Can I get play some with tissue her. Here?
Whatever.
Can I get some tissue, please?
I was able to play with her and see her work ethic and all that stuff. But it was really cool. We had a great run in high school.
Yeah, we did.
What's most important is that we've been longtime friends since then. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to, you know, be on this journey of coaching college basketball kind of simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah, our families are really close, too. I think I got married before you. I came to Joanne's wedding, and Harold, my husband, came with us, and then we got a chance to really spend some time with Joanne and Fred, mm-hmm. just because she was coaching, I was coaching, but we kind of reconnected yeah. after that and just really kept in touch. I've seen her pregnant, and she had her kids, and she's been through all of mine, too, so it's been really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. How far did y'all get in high school in terms of state playoffs and all that sort of thing?
Oh, Matt, why did you bring that up?
It's my job to ask the tough
still
questions.
A sore subject.
It is. Well, we made it to the Final Four when we were together. And then when I graduated, they made it to the championship game. Mm-hmm. And I was excited but also mad because we couldn't do it. Because we had a squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a squad. So.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that Joe's got the leg up on you.
I know.
Back to those formative years outside of basketball, how did the time that you spent together, specifically for you, Atoro, over at the Aluka home, enable you to really connect with your Nigerian heritage?
Well, what was really cool, too, is we didn't live that far from each other. I think we were, maybe like 7 or 8 minutes from each other. And so, you know, when I would pick her up, to play basketball, when she would come back, her parents would have meals cooked. And, like, they really, really got me into the egusi soup. Like, if you're Nigerian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But just learning about my different heritage was really cool. They took me in like I was one of their own. So, you know, Joe's the only child. And I think your parents really appreciated just people being at the house with Joe because she wasn't by herself. But that was really neat. I mean, up until this day, like, I call her mom my mom.
Yeah.
Wow. How did that impact you, Joanne?
Yeah, you know, like she said, I'm an only child, but I never felt like I was an only child, mm-hmm. only when I had to go to bed early. But to be serious, yeah, you know, being on a team and actually having someone like Atoro that actually had that Nigerian heritage to understand somewhat, and, you know, she was a part of our family and has been. So for me, you know, having her during that time was also great because I was able, she's older than me.
Joe.
So she was somebody to look up to, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say.
Joe.
And she was somebody to look up to, and she's always been a leader, so to speak, as far as, you know, as a team captain, as your point guard, all that stuff. But as a friend, she's been surely one of my solid friends for a long time.
You've been that for me too, though, Joe. We've been through a lot just from playing basketball, yeah. Our coaching career, yeah. our paths, just our journeys. You know, when you're in this business, you don't have too many friends, but you got maybe like one or two or maybe three people that you can always call. It doesn't matter what time or day. And Joe's one of those people for me.
Let's talk playing in college, because I imagine there was some communication between the two of you during your college careers. Atoro, you played at Clemson. Joanne, you played at Middle Tennessee State. Atoro, we'll start with you. When you went off to Clemson and played in the Atlantic Coast Conference, what are your memories? What are the highlights of your college playing career?
Those were some really good days for me. I mean, I really, really love my teammates. They made my experience really, really enjoyable. I think wherever you go, the people make that experience so much better. But I played under Jim Davis. He is a really renowned coach. And he's since then retired. But we had a squad. Like, we had a squad. We had Amy Guerin. We had Stephanie Ridgeway. We just had a lot of people on that team. And when I got there, they just took me in. And it was kind of like a home away from home. And so, you know, we won a lot of games together. We lost some games together. But I'll tell you what, I can call any one of those, any one of my teammates. And, I mean, we will pick up where we left off. But it was some really good time. We won the ACC championship twice, once when I was a freshman, once when I was a senior. And ironically, it was against North Carolina. So that's really funny. So you got to know, like, my teammates right now, they haven't really, like, warmed up to the fact that I'm coaching here at North Carolina. But I have to remind them, hey, we're a lot older now. Like, don't hold that against me. But a really, really cool time at Clemson.
So you'll pull for them every day except January 2nd is what you're saying.
There we go. Yep.
That's great. Joanne, what about you? When you think back about your college playing days, what comes to mind?
Yeah, you know, I tell our players all the time, I enjoyed my experience in college. You know, I grew up as a young person. In college, I was about 5.5 hours away from home. My first year there, I was able to be freshman of the year and do all of that stuff, and we got to the NCAA tournament. Fun fact, we played Duke in the NCAA tournament and got spanked.
Uh-oh.
You didn't have to say that part.
And, you know, so I enjoyed my experience. I had great coaches around me. I had great teammates. Some of them are some of my closest friends now, you know. Middle Tennessee was a place in which I found my husband. He found me. I was able to grow up. And then that community also, much like Chapel Hill, does a great job of wrapping its arms around their students and student athletes. So that's home, you know what I mean? And so it was a great experience. The faculty and staff was super supportive. It was just a place where I grew up, and I was able to take my game to the next level. Now, I had some bumps along the way because I tore my ACL after my freshman year and I had to sit out and all that stuff. And doing that at a mid-major, in hindsight, it's a little bit more of a struggle.
Just a little bit different.
It's a little different, especially back then. But, you know, I grew up and I had some adversity, but I learned a lot about myself. And then that's when I figured out I really love basketball. And this is something I wanted to be in athletics in some capacity. So I have a lot of fond memories of my college days just because of we won a lot of games, we lost some. But I have great friends. I found my husband, and now I have a family because of those times there.
You two went separate ways for college, but back together to play again in 2004 with the Nigerian national team at the Athens Olympics. How does that process work where the Nigerian basketball folks approach you and bring you in, or is it something where you reach out, Atora?
Well, they contacted me, and it was very random. At first, I thought somebody was playing, so I had to do some research. Yeah. But they connected with me, and we were talking back and forth. I forget, it was Issa Umar. Anyway, Issa connected with me. We were talking back and forth. And then my first experience with the Nigerian national team was in the All-African Games. And so I got a chance to go to Johannesburg, South Africa, which was really, really cool. And it basically, the All-African Games is just like the Olympics for African teams. So I got a chance to learn a lot about my culture, just being there. I've never been to Africa before. That was really, really neat. And we qualified for the Olympics during that time. So I'm not sure how the process worked, but I think that worked the same for Joanne too. Like they contact someone in your circle and kind of word of mouth, and then that's how we got a chance to be on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I was coming off of playing overseas, and I was actually working at Middle in the marketing department as a marketing assistant. When I came back. And so it was like maybe a month. I came back to the States maybe in April, and we were gearing up. They were gearing up for the mm-hmm. Olympic Games that summer. And so I had talked to you.
Yep.
And then she was telling me that they were gearing up for the Olympic Games. And she kind of talked to me about it, and they were still trying to find more players, mm-hmm. you know, probably, you know, American-based players for the team. And so then somebody contacted me from the organization, Nigerian.
Yeah. See, there we go.
Nigerian Basketball
Federation.
There you go. Yes. Just don't pay attention. Yes. Anyway, and so they contacted me, and so I didn't know if it was for real, but then I talked to her, and she had already played with them. And so it kind of just worked out. I talked to my parents about it as well, and So both my parents are from Nigeria, and so for me, that was just a great opportunity to represent that my country, you know what I mean? Especially, this is going in a different direction, but my dad passed like the September after Olympics, so he was able to see me, you know, represent his country, our country, you know what I mean? So it was special in that, right? But she will never toot her own horn, but she was like a rock star for the Nigerian national team, seriously. And then going into it, she had just had her firstborn.
Yes. Jada, I went to training camp 8 weeks after I gave birth.
Wow.
Now, some people might think that's crazy, but one of the things on my bucket list was to play in the Olympics. Yeah. Didn't know how I was going to do it because we both have dual citizenship you know, for USA and Nigeria. So it just so happened that the opportunity presented itself, and I was like, Harold, do you mind? And I mean, I would not have been able to do anything like that without my husband, Harold. He's a rock star, really. He is a rock star. So he and we had a support staff stay with Jada. She was so young. And when I came back, she was like 3 months old, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, dang, she changed so much. But it was a really cool experience. Yeah, couldn't pass it up.
It leads me right into my next question. Joanne, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. How do you describe the sense of pride being able to represent your country?
Yeah, I think I spoke to it. You know, it's my country. It's my father's country. He came over here after studying in Italy and came here to Mississippi, actually. That's where I was born. And so in my household, I'm the only child. I can understand the language, Igbo language. But I can't speak it fluently. I can say some things, so don't ask me. But to represent that my country, my parents' country, gives you a sense of pride. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you never really know if you're going to have an opportunity to do that. And I don't think at that age I was young enough to really understand the magnitude of that opportunity. And to be around, like, the best of the best the world, you know? For me, it was a great experience. I have some bonds with the Nigerian, some of our national team teammates and some other people that we met along the way. It's one of those things, it's an experience that I can actually use to help our student athletes now to say, hey, I've been able to play some of the best players across the country. I traveled to Turkey, the island of Crete.
Yeah.
We were in Germany. We were here, you know, preparing for this. And it was a great experience. And I was able to do it with a good friend.
Tora, how about you? The sense of pride representing your country.
I tell you what, like I really didn't know what to expect going into it. I just knew that I was really excited to be a part of it. But when I got there, seeing how the Nigerian players reacted to just whenever we did something good. See, Nigeria, like organized basketball, really, we started late in Nigeria. And so for them to be able to put a team together to go to the Olympics and win one game, it was, I can't even tell you like how excited I was. So you talk about making an impact, and every player on that team was able to leave a mark because people still talk about that one game we beat Korea in. Yeah. But that was huge. The singing, the just the bonds that we made with each other, learning about more about the culture. And I had a big sense of pride. My dad passed away when he was 6 months old. He was the one that was from Nigeria. And so I never got a chance to really know my Nigerian side of the family. And so being on this national team just got me closer to the culture. So it was a really cool experience.
Terrific stories from two Carolina assistant coaches, Joanna Luca-White and Atoro Coleman. More with them after this timeout. The presenting sponsor of the Courtney Banghart Show is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, we resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to empower future leaders. Back with Carolina assistants Joanna Luca-White and Atoro Coleman after this from Learfield. Another reminder that the Carolina Club is your social membership club in Chapel Hill and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and Friends of Carolina. The club offers exceptional dining. It's got an unbeatable location for UNC sporting events, a full calendar of social, business, family, and community affairs, and access to the club network of over 200 private clubs. The best part, you don't even have to be a UNC alum. Everyone is welcome at the Carolina Club. Please visit carolina-club.com to learn more about your club at Carolina. We are back on this special edition of the Courtney Banghart Show, joined by two of Coach Banghart's assistants, Joanna Luca-White in her third season, Atoro Coleman in her first here at Carolina. So we talked about your background, your shared background together through the Olympic Games, all the way back to high school and your childhood. Now you're both here in the coaching profession. Joe, we'll start with you. When did you get the inkling to become a coach?
I got the inkling probably as I was in college, and my head coach at the time had me host almost every recruit for, I don't know, maybe a year or two. And I was able to successfully help us, you know, get commitments. And then she talked to me, and I had the notion of wanting to go to medical school and do something, and maybe I want to be a pediatric doctor, or maybe, you know, maybe not be in medicine all the way, but do physical therapy or cardio rehabilitation. And then she talked to me about, you know, you might be a really good coach one day. And I just looked at her. I was like, okay. You know? But when I finished playing in college, and then I went overseas and played, and I still had an itch to be around athletics. So then that's when I took an opportunity to be in marketing, and that wasn't enough, and I found myself still wanting to play. And then I got an opportunity to coach at FIU. And so that's probably where it kind of blossomed from there. Cindy Russo gave me an opportunity. They created another assistant coaching position. I moved down there, and I was able to really dive into it. We were understaffed. So I was able to do everything from player development to, I had Dobo responsibilities. I helped with marketing and communications, or volunteer, whatever it was. I was able to kind of get my hands dirty and mixed into everything that was affiliated with running and operating a women's basketball, Division I women's basketball program. So that's when I kind of got my feet wet, and then I fell in love with it, because just being able to help develop young women, you know, not just as basketball players, but help them matriculate through college and help them grow and continue the process of growing and developing and learning who they are. I enjoy that. And also I love winning more than all. I love winning basketball games, you know, so, and being around the sport. So I think that's where it came, is being at Middle, as a student athlete, and then getting the opportunity at FIU years later.
Hey, Toro, where'd the itch come from for you?
Well, Matt, I was supposed to be a sports commentator. That's the route that I was going. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was going to be on television and all that stuff. But when I finished up at Clemson, the assistant coach at the time was Kerry Green. And prior to that, I would stay at Clemson in the summer to work all the basketball camps. I just did it because I liked it. We got paid, but it wasn't about that. It was just about being around the campers and, you know, just really hanging out. So based off of that, Coach Green said, hey, why don't you come to Liberty? Because that's where he got his job at. And he was like, just try it out to see if you like it or not. And at the time, I was in between training camps. So I finished my eligibility. I didn't get drafted. I think I went into one or two training camps. And so I was in the middle of a training camp. And he was like, hey, if it doesn't work out with the league, why don't you come to Liberty? So I was like, you know, I'll try it. I can start working on my master's, you know. Okay. I can see a win-win situation right here. So I ended up going to Liberty. I was the third assistant. So at that time, the third assistant was restricted. So we could not do anything off campus. So I did everything on-campus visits, player development, video exchange, mm-hmm. all that stuff. He was throwing a lot at me. And for any normal person, they probably would have been overwhelmed. But, like, I got a rush from it. Coach Green, he's an awesome coach. He really trusted me with his players, and that meant a lot to me. And so from that experience, I was like, Coach Green, how can I become a better coach? So he talked about me working other camps and going to these coaching clinics and seminars and networking and connecting that way. And then to me, like, I'm a super competitive person. And I really wanted to learn as much as I could learn about the game, because obviously we played the game. So there's some stuff that you know just because you played. But the behind the scenes stuff is what I needed to be a lot sharper in. And so I just started reaching out to different people that he was connected with. And I started networking, and everyone was such an open book. And so I started getting the itch really bad, because I was like, okay, what can I do now? What can I do now? Where can I go now? And then it kind of just took off from there. And I really, really appreciate Coach Green for even seeing that in me, because I told you I was supposed to be a sports commentator. I was supposed to be on television. That's what I majored in communications. I was going into broadcasting, and he was like, why don't you try this? And then it's worked out. I mean, I've been doing it for a little over 20 years now.
That's fantastic. Joanne, back to you. you said you were at FIU, mm-hmm. and then made your way to UNC Charlotte, yes. and were part of Kara Consuegra's staff.
Yep.
And then 3 years ago, you came here to Chapel Hill. Walk me through that process. Did Coach Banghart reach out to you? How'd you become familiar with her? What's the origin of that?
Yeah, so she did reach out, but I had Coach Banghart and I initially met. We were playing, Charlotte was playing in the Cancun tournament, and Princeton was playing in it as well. I think we actually played them. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember exactly. We actually played them, and this is when she first had her her boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of talked during that tournament. And then so during recruiting events in April or the summer, when we see each other, we would always speak and just catch up. Nothing major, you know, just kind of touch base as we all do on the road. And so then this opportunity came, and she did reach out. I was actually on a vacation with my husband, and she texted or called or whatnot and reached out. And she's like, hey, want to know if you're, you know, interested. And I was like, all right, I'm on vacation. Let's talk when I, you know, get back. But then being that I was in the state of North Carolina for 7 years under Kara Consuegra, I learned a lot under her. I was able to see from afar the power of UNC. You know, the state is blue. You just choose your color. I believe it's Carolina blue, right? So, you know, I was able to see from afar the program and the type of players that were coming here, the type of players that had been here, and what this place could be with, you know, the right staff, the right leadership and all that stuff. And so we had opportunity. She called me up. I came up for an interview. We talked, and her vision seemed like that would work here. You know what I mean? And everything as far as developing young people, being in the community, family atmosphere, all of those things aligned with what I wanted for my next experience and how I could help this program move to the next, move forward, I should say. So, yeah, that's how it just worked out. I mean, I'm happy that she liked me enough to bring me along, and she trusted me, you know, especially because I was the one assistant that was from the state. And so I think it's been pretty good since then. Yeah.
And Atoro, you're the newbie on the staff. You're number one here in Chapel Hill. You were at Marquette. So what was the process for you? When did the contact begin? And how much was Joe involved in trying to sway you here?
Well, what's funny is, so I've known Courtney for a while. When she was the head coach at Princeton, I was the head coach at Clemson. And we kind of just kept in touch over the years. I watched what she did with Princeton from afar and was really impressed with it. We also have a mutual friend, Chris Lazier, who was on staff last year. Funny story. So he coached my daughter, Jada, in high school when we lived in Pennsylvania. So when I was working at Penn State, he was the head coach at State High. Jada was there. And then I actually had a year to work with him as a volunteer coach. So there was a connection there already, but there was an opportunity that came open. And Courtney gave me a call, but she was asking me about someone else, though. She was asking me about one of our video guys, and I'd known him for a while, and so I was talking to her about him, and then she was like, hey, there might be an opening spot here. Would you consider it? And she was like, I don't want to talk to you right now. And we got off the phone, and I was like, what was that? So then, you know, I started calling around, and then she called me again because since then there was a change. And then we started talking a little bit more. And it was funny because, like, Joe was never a part of the equation at all. I talked to her. I talked to Chris. I talked to some other people. And it kind of just worked out. And for me, you know, at this point in my career, I want to win a national championship. I really do. The people that you surround yourself matters. And in looking at what North Carolina was able to do the past couple of years in a short amount of time was really impressive. Knowing that Joe was here on staff, I know the type of person that she is. So there was like an instant level of comfort just because I know Joe. You know, and then I knew Coach Banghart. And so, you know, as we started talking and I started talking with other people just associated with the program, it just made sense for me and my family and just where I am at this point in my career. You know, I really do. That's one of those bucket lists. I want to win a national championship. And I think everything that we have here at North Carolina in terms of resources, the type of people that we're recruiting in, our staff, it's just really set up for that. And that's what I'm really excited about.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Yeah. One last question for each of you. A word that keeps popping up all through this chat. has been family. And I want to ask about balancing coaching, having a family, motherhood, all of that. Joanne, we'll start with you. How important is that and how fulfilling is that for you?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my pillars is family. You know, I'm a mother. I'm a wife and a mother first. And then when I come to work, I try to treat our student athletes as if they're part of my family. So I see them as, you know, I don't want to say mom. Daughters,
well,
but anyway, but you know, I treat them as if they're one of my kids, or you know, if they're like a niece of mine, you know what I mean? And so that's how I approach it, and I think all of us do that in our office. Our entire staff, our coaching staff, we all have kids, we're family oriented, you know what I mean? And so we treat it that way. These kids come a long way, some of them come from all the way from Arizona and Minnesota, and they don't get to see their families. And so, yes, basketball is very important. It's why we're here. But that's just a piece of the puzzle. These kids have to believe that we care for them. They need to know that, you know, outside of what they do on the court. And I think that's what's really special about our program and our coaching staff is that we do a great job of it's not a cookie-cutter relationship with any of these kids. You know, they have an individualized relationship with all of us, and they can feel that. They know that I love them. They can come to my house. We can hang out, come to my office at any point. We don't have to talk about basketball. But at the end of the day, we know we have a job to do. But they get loved on, and they get, you know, life lessons, and they get the hard truth. And at the same time, they get a lot of hugs, whatever they need in that moment. And I think that's what's extremely important, especially when you're trying to build a culture and build a program. There's a lot of trust that has to be there, and it comes from those relationships and being family.
Yeah. In addition to that, like, I don't have it down pat yet, just in terms of balancing what I do at work with what my with home. But the cool thing about North Carolina is my family feels so much a part of the North Carolina family, just by how Coach Banghart just runs the program. My children can always come to practice. You know, they're going to be at the games. And for me, that, you know, it gives me more time with them because we're not around them a lot, especially during the season. And so that just makes it easier for the balance. And they look forward to that. I mean, they look up to each and every one of those players on the team. And so not every program is kid friendly. And that was a big thing for me, because anywhere that I'm going to be at, I want my family to feel welcome. And that's what we have here at North Carolina. And it helps that everyone's parents on staff. So they get that and they understand that. And it's not just words, but we live it every day.
And can I just piggyback off of that? I don't think I have it figured out either.
No.
You know, well, but we make it work.
We
you
make
know,
it work.
I'm blessed and lucky to have my husband, Fred, Fred White. The love of my life. I met him in college.
Oh,
we've been
here
together.
We go. She didn't give me time to talk about Harold. Come on now.
For,
go ahead, Joe.
Over 15 years, and we have 14-year-olds. And so it's a rat race, right? And so, but he's super supportive. They're supportive. And there's nights when I don't get home till 7 or 8. But, you know, he's been able to figure out dinner. He's taking them to practices and all that stuff. But when I'm able to be there, I'm present, you know, because I do my job. I get my job done, and I'm able to come home and be around my family and do what I need to do as a mom, you know? And so I try my best, and we try our best. I know Etora does as well, to make sure when we have moments with our families that they're impactful and that they get the attention and the love that they need. But at the same time, we know that we have a job to do. So I don't know if we ever get balanced and we ever figure it out. But what's great is that she has Harold and I have Fred, and they're great support systems and they're great partners in life. And there's no way that we could, I know, and I know she can't do it without him.
Okay, I need to go on record to say Joanne cut me off before I was able to talk about the love of my life.
I got you, Harold.
Harold Coleman, who is the father of my four children, our four children, but he does a great job. Like, I wouldn't be able to do what I do without him. He's the yin to my yang. Like, I forget a lot, but he reminds me, and vice versa. And so, you know, we have very supportive husbands, and they're very big supporters too. That makes it a lot easier too, as well.
Well, we are so glad to have both of you, Joanne and Toro, Fred and Harold, and all your children as part of our Carolina family. Thank you so much for the time today. Really loved hearing the backstories on the beginnings of your basketball career and your coaching journeys.
Thank you so much, Matt.
And enjoy some off time with the family here right around Christmas.
Yeah. Will do.
Will do.
All right. We've got a little bit more to come here on the Courtney Banghart Show. That's when we come back from Learfield. Just another reminder that the Carolina Club is your social membership club in Chapel Hill and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and Friends of Carolina. The club offers exceptional dining. It's got an unbeatable location for UNC sporting events, a full calendar of social, business, family, and community affairs, and access to the club network of over 200 private clubs. The best part, you don't even have to be a UNC alum. Everyone is welcome at the Carolina Club. Please visit carolina-club.com to learn more about your club at Carolina. Well, back here on the Courtney Banghart Show, we hope you enjoyed that interview with Etoro Coleman and Joanne Aluka-White. What a treat to be able to talk with them about their journeys through the game of basketball and their longtime friendship that has brought them back together here at Carolina working for the Tar Heels. So, one more game before the holiday break for Carolina. It is tomorrow, if you're listening to this on time, on Monday. The game will be Tuesday, December 21st at 1 p.m. against the Hornets of Alabama State out of the SWAC. Just the second all-time meeting between Carolina and Alabama State. Carolina leads the series 1-0. Early tip-off, 1 o'clock p.m. will be on the air at 12:30 with the Reed's Jewelers pregame show. It's a front end of a women's and men's doubleheader in Chapel Hill with the men's team home against Appalachian State at 7. From there, it's back into ACC play the rest of the way. Make a note, if you have not already seen, that game on the 30th of December against Syracuse has been bumped up to a 4 o'clock p.m. tip time. It is listed on the original schedule as 6 o'clock, so 4 o'clock tip on Thursday, December 30th, as Carolina will take on Syracuse. But Carolina and Alabama State in the final game before the holiday break. We'll talk to you at 12:30 on Tuesday for that 1 o'clock p.m. tip-off. Our thanks once again to Carolina assistant coaches Toro Coleman and Joanne Aluka-White. My name is Matt Krause, saying thanks so much for listening. This has been the Courtney Banghart Show, and you heard it from start to finish on the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield. Thanks for listening, and have a very happy holiday season and a very Merry Christmas. Take care.
Coach Banghart Live has been presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Also brought to you in part by the Carolina Club, your social and business club in Chapel Hill, and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.